When I was in college, one of my best friends got him a job that paid him more than he was worth. He had more money than he knew how to spend. And so he went out and he bought him the biggest, fastest, most powerful sports car he could buy. He then took it down to the tire shop and he bought some really expensive tires with some nice new shiny rims that they could ride on. And then he was driving to school. Had a flat tire. He pulled off to the side of the road and there wasn't really enough of a side of the road, so he was in the dirt. And he managed to get the lug wrench out and he put it on the tire. And the guy that had put the tires on had done him a real big favor. He had taken that air wrench and turned the air pressure up to about 400 pounds. And he put those lug nuts on to stay. And when you only have a little tire iron that's about a foot and a half long, and so he put it on there and he put all of his weight trying to get that to break loose. And that tire iron slipped off of the lug nuts. Knuckles went straight into the ground. Bloodied his knuckles. Hurt. And he grabbed that tire iron and he hit the door of that car. And then he realized the dent in the door. And he threw that wrench as far across the road and across the ditch and out into a field. And then he stood there with a flat tire, bloody knuckles, and no tire wrench. And you all realize that was just plain stupid. Any way you want to talk about it, any way you want to draw it, any way you want to tell the story, what he did was absolutely dumb. Because when he got all said and done, he not only still had a flat tire, he had compounded everything about his situation, and he was in a much deeper problem than when he ever started. Such, unfortunately, is the way of anger. In our reading this week, we're reading out of the book of James. And James said, "Brethren, be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to wrath. Because the anger of man works not the righteousness of God." We're not going to sing it this morning, but we do sing it periodically. Song number 394 in our songbook. "Angry words, oh, let them never." But I'm going to tell you what, it's not just the words. It's the whole problem of anger. And when we begin talking about anger, one of the things that you all recognize is it's absolutely common to mankind. Little kids. One of the things we try to teach our children as we're raising them is how to control themselves when they get angry. One of the good things about having more than one kid is that they kind of get to practice on each other. And through that, they do learn social skills and they prepare themselves for the events of life, because every single one of us has to deal with the issues of life in which one of the emotions that is simply there is the idea of anger. And it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. Cain was angry with Abel. And he did not control it. And God warned him that with that type of a feeling in his heart, that sin stood at the door and you better control it. You're going to have to master that. And he did not do that. And it brought the death of his brother. Now, I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't anger that killed Abel. It was Cain that killed Abel. Because Cain simply did not control himself. And every single one of us, man, woman, and child, is going to have to deal with the same issue. And God addresses that in the book. And when we begin talking about that, God warns us this simply is dangerous. And God warns us over and over and over again that this one particular emotion that we have, it so easily gets out of control and controls us. In Proverbs 17, verse 14, it says, anger is like letting out of water. It grows and it exhales. The beginning of strife is as one that lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it is meddled with. In Proverbs 19, verse 19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if you deliver him, you'll just have to do it again. What you begin seeing with that is, when somebody has a problem with anger, it is one of those things. It's not one and done. It's going to be today, tomorrow, again, and again, and again. And once you've gone down the road, and you've allowed that in your life to do, it is hard to back up and decide another course of action. He warns us it's dangerous. Part of the danger is, like Cain and Abel, it brings sin. When we are angry, we allow ourselves to do things we ought not do. Proverbs 30, verse 33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. And I like this. The wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of wrath brings strife. It's just going to happen. It's going to be a consequence of exercising that particular emotion. Again, in Proverbs 29, verse 22, it says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. The anger of man works not the righteousness of God. And so we need to beware of that. What the Bible teaches us, whether we like this or not, or even if we agree with it or not, if you disagree, by the way, with the Bible, you're just wrong. But the problem comes as the Bible says, we're supposed to be able to control anger. In Proverbs chapter 37 and verse 8, or Psalm 37 verse 8, it says, cease from anger and forsake the wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalts folly. Or again, Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Proverbs 16, 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that rules his spirit better than he that can take a city. How much power does it take to control your anger? Apparently, for some people, a great deal. But it's needful. And the ability to control that anger is better. Well, you just need to learn to do it. And one of the problems that we have with this go back to my friend. He couldn't help that. When he busted his knuckles in the dirt, he couldn't help but hit his car. True or false? And when he threw that across the ditch and over into the field, he couldn't help it. True or false? Now, I'm going to tell you what. Everybody that heard the story laughed at him because he could control it. He chose not to. He chose to vent and to use the anger. And what happens is, people don't realize that anger is an emotion, but it's what I call a secondary emotion. Usually it's like an iceberg. And if you were able to be a scuba diver, probably freeze, but if you were a scuba diver and could look at an iceberg, you'd see something like what's on that picture. And there'd be a little bit of top above the water, and then underneath, there'd be all of the rest of the ice. And underneath the surface that you see going on when somebody is angry is all of these other emotions that are there. Frustration, or embarrassment, or humiliation, guilt, rejection, helplessness, a feeling of having been hurt. And probably the biggest one out of all of that is a feeling that things are out of control here. I need to get into control of this situation. And how can I get in control of the situation? And the answer is simple. Just display your anger. And the moment you blow up, and your face gets red, and your fist gets clenched, and you start yelling, and intimidating, and screaming, you get to be in control of the situation. I'm going to tell you a little secret. It works. Temporarily. It's like putting a band-aid on an amputated limb. It'll help a little. But in the long run, it causes more problems than what we have. It's a choice that we make in order to deal with the humiliation or the fear or that which is there. But when we talk about this choice of how to deal with the anger in that situation, I'm going to tell you the Bible is very blunt about it. It's a bad choice. And you need to figure out something else to do. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man, a wise man, covers the shame. Again, Proverbs 14, 17. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. A man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 14, 29. He that is slow under wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalts foolishness. The writer of Ecclesiastes said in chapter 7 and verse 9, be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, if you just take a concordance and look up the word anger and just begin reading every verse about anger, you'll understand what James said when he said, it doesn't work the righteousness of God. It is one of those things that the moment that we choose to deal with people in interpersonal relationships with anger, we destroy the relationship. It's just not a good choice. Doctors will tell you, It costs you physically. The blood pressure rises. All of the chemicals in your body. It creates a hyperacidic condition in your stomach. It produces gastritis and ulcers. Chronic anger develops these in a chronic fashion that shows itself in the body. It's a bad choice just for your own health life. Having been a preacher now for longer than I care to admit, one of the things I've done is I've watched. Do you step back and deal with people? And when people have come into my office because, last straw, we need to go talk to the preacher about something. And the problem is when they walk into the door, you can tell immediately they're in serious trouble. Usually one of them has an anger condition. And what it does is it destroys the spirit of the other. Or it raises the level of anxiety and conflict because you've all been in the other position. The one thing that we just simply are not going to do is we're not going to stick around and let somebody abuse us emotionally and physically and through words when they're angry and they begin using that in our relationship. I know how we respond. We shut it down. Close the door. Walk away. You see them coming and you turn and go the other direction. If you realize that you're going to have to deal with the person, you choose not to. So the use of that anger in those situations does not produce a good relationship, a mutual working relationship. It destroys marriages. It destroys our children. It destroys churches. It destroys the community. It destroys the fender of your sports car. When you begin seeing how this affects your life, you begin seeing it from God's standpoint. Maybe this is a way of solving the problem. It's a choice, but it's a very bad choice. And it's always counterproductive. So, what do you do with it? That's the million-dollar question. And I would ask the question, what will you do with it? What James said is simple enough. It doesn't work righteousness. You need something else. The Apostle Paul is going to teach in Ephesians chapter 4 that we are to put away these things, particularly with the notion of anger. Be angry and sin not, is the way that he phrased that. I've had Bible classes, maybe you've been guilty of this, where somebody says, see, right there it says, we're supposed to be angry. Be angry. Now what it's doing is recognizing that that is common to man. And when you get that way, don't sin. Now, if you don't believe anything else out of that, I'm going to tell you what that passage tells you is, you can control this. You must control this. When it happens in your life, maybe you can't keep it from happening in your life, but you can control what you do with it. You know what? Anger can be productive. If my friend would have put that wrench back on that wheel, he could have used all of that emotion and all of that anger, and he could have gotten that 400-pound lug nut. But but not when you throw it across the street. And so, if we can learn to use the anger very carefully, how am I going to use it? What's it going to do? How does this relate? There's some other choices. Humor. I'm going to tell you, one of the things you have to be very careful is when you use humor with an angry man. I found out that doesn't always work. And what I mean by this is, don't use humor against the angry man. The angry man needs to learn to use humor to deal with the situation. Or when a person is angry, what he can do is he can channel that anger towards the problem. And it can be used to intensify his efforts in solving the problem itself. I was counseling a young couple one time. I'm just going to put it bluntly. In a Christian manner, I love this guy's wife. She was trying to be a Christian. She was working hard at it. She was trying to be godly. She was. And he was a scoundrel. And if she did anything, his response was anger. Usually he hit her. And one of the questions I ask is, well, how does that work? Does that make her like you better? Does that increase the depth of her love and feelings? Well, it increased the depth of her feelings, but it wasn't in the matter of love. And then I had a problem. I'm going to tell you what, I got ticked off. So I'm sitting there as she's explaining all the things that he has been doing to her. God spared me. I didn't have a 2x4. God spared me. He made me 5'4". Lots of little things that can go in there, but they walked out the door, and I went and put my running shoes on, and I went out, and the first time in my life I ever ran 8 miles. But you can do that. Instead of being angry and taking it out on the other person, go work. Go work out. Do something that you can use the anger in a productive way. You can learn to relax. Now that's hard to do, but you can learn to do it. You can use the recreation part. Take up a different hobby. Try crying. Better than anger. Writing. Music. Resting, verbalizing. Do you ever think about just talking in a normal voice? What is the problem going on? How can we solve the problem? Problem-solving activities. See, the problem that we have with anger is that it gets channeled in this idea of yelling and screaming and hitting and manipulating. And it destroys us and our relationship. And when we practice any one of these other things in our relationship, it makes our relationship stronger. It draws us closer together. It'll strengthen our marriages. It'll strengthen our relationship as parents to our children. It strengthens relationship between brothers and sisters. They learn to solve their problems together and they bond and they become part of a family unit that way. There's all of the advantages of this. And there's really not an advantage to choosing anger to deal with our problems in these ways. what we then can do is going back to what Paul said in Ephesians. When you're angry, don't choose sin. When you're angry, figure out how to solve the problem that is making you angry. But solve the problem. Don't give way to the anger. When you do, the Bible is absolutely clear on this. You need to repent. In your repenting, you need to go to the person that you have abused with your anger, and you need to make a confession to them, I was wrong for doing this. You need to apologize. I'm sorry. I should not have done that. It was wrong. What you need is to ask them, will you forgive me? And then ask them if they'll help you deal with this. I have a problem. Now, I learned something. My brother and I used to play the same game that my kids learned to play. That is, how many buttons can we push on Dad before everything just kind of explodes? And the way we learned to play the game was, we could tell by the color of his neck. We could tell by how far his eyes were bulging towards the front. We could tell how white the knuckles were coming. And when we began to see those points, we learned, okay, time to back off. And sometimes we misjudged. But I'm going to tell you what. Everybody in the house knew when Dad was getting angry. That was true when I was Dad. I found out talking to grandparents. That was true with Grandpa and Great-Grandpa. You know when you're getting angry. You know it. You know the feelings. You know the frustration. You can feel the anger in the neck and the heat, and you can feel the tenseness of the... You know that you're getting angry. That's when you need, what it is Barney Fife used to say, nip it in the bud. That's when you need to respond. What you really need to respond with first and foremost is not the problem that is making you angry or uncomfortable or whatever it's making you do. You need to deal with yourself and the problem that you're about to choose anger as your method of solving this problem. And you better be careful with the anger. You know what God wants us to be is godly. And in order to be godly, the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Brethren, it's going to happen, but you don't have to sin. It's going to happen, but you can control it. Count to three. If you're still mad, count to 10. If you're still mad, count to 110. The point is, it doesn't matter how far you have to go. You need to solve the problem. God is going to save us through Jesus Christ, but He expects us to behave ourselves. Brethren, learn to control your anger. Learn to deal with each other lovingly, kindly, and righteously. What's that got to do with becoming a Christian? Well, one thing it has to do is you all done this, you already been angry, you already sinned, now you need forgiveness, and that can only be found in Jesus Christ. If you will repent and be baptized, believing that Jesus is the Christ, you can be forgiven even of those things. We invite you to come. Together we stand and sing.